أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقال الذين كفروا لا تسمعوا لهذا القرآن والغوا فيه لعلكم تغلبون. فلنذيقن الذين كفروا عذابا شديدا ولنجزينهم أسوأ الذي كانوا يعملون. ذلك جزاء أعداء الله النار لهم فيها دار الخلد جزاء بما كانوا بآياتنا يجحدون. وقال الذين كفروا ربنا أرنا الذين أضلانا من الجن والإنس نجعلهما تحت أقدامنا ليكونا من الأسفلين. إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون. نزلا من غفور رحيم. ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين. ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة ادفع بالتي هي أحسن فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم. وما يلقاها إلا الذين صبروا وما يلقاها إلا ذو حظ عظيم. وإما ينزغنك من الشيطان نزغ فاستعذ بالله إنه هو السميع العليم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهداه وبعد. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him and all his companions. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless his household. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless every single one of us and to grant us goodness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same time to grant us knowledge that is beneficial and to benefit us from the knowledge that we have been granted. And we ask Allah to protect us from eyes that will not cry for His sake and to protect us from a heart that will not tremble in His fear and to protect us from a soul that will not be content or a stomach that will not be filled and to protect us from a prayer that is made that is not answered. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, we are very fortunate to be here in Colombo this Sunday morning with the idea of benefiting. And before I commence, I'd like to say there is no point in saying it was a strong talk, it was a good speech. The statement was very powerful. Did you hear it? I will give you a CD and so on. There's no point in that without us changing. Because the idea is to become a better person. That's the idea. Life, we know, on this earth is only once. We only live once. So you will find those who don't believe in the life after death saying, life is once, so enjoy it. And those who believe in the life after death, and that includes all of us here, we say life is once, so prepare for the akhirah properly one time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that preparation. Believe me, we have sinned enough. We have not achieved anything from it. We have missed enough salah. We didn't achieve anything from it. Enough sins were committed. What did we get from it? How did we become big? What were we known by? We are now becoming old. If we don't realize that, we are going to lose. And I'm speaking generally, I'm addressing myself and everyone else. Remember, whatever I am saying firstly applies to myself, then everyone else. So we need to know this. We might have speakers that will come to us from everywhere. We can have the imam of the most blessed masjid on the earth, Makkatul Mukarrama, come and talk to us. What more do you want? And I've usually and normally said that if we require a specific person to come to us, to talk to us before we change, they will come. But if guidance is not written and we are not interested in it, then even if they come, nothing will happen to us. This is why in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ.
There are certain people whom, even if the angels had to be sent down to talk to them in person, and all that which has gone by, everyone who passed away has to come back and be resurrected and tell them, look, I have died, I am now back only to tell you to turn. Allah says, they will not turn unless Allah has guided them. We ask Allah to make us from the guided. So there are some who are very intelligent. They tell you, well, look, you know, guidance is not written for me. So that's why when it's written, it will come. That is very, very dangerous. We cannot blame destiny for our misdeeds and our wrongdoings. Because while I'm sitting here right now, yes, Allah has permitted me to make my choices. Allah has given me permission. And it is through His authority that I am making choices, but I am answerable for whatever choices I make. If Allah did not give us the choice, it would be unfair for Him to question us. Unfair. So let us not misinterpret and misunderstand destiny and predestiny. We make choices, we are responsible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an understanding. Today we are going to speak about the topic that has already been introduced to you. And I'd like to start off by saying we are living on a globe. This earth has so many people. We all share something in common. And that is, we are human beings. We need air. And we are living. We have life. Subhanallah. But we are divided. Divided and division sometimes is not bad if it is looked at from a specific angle. And what is that angle? We are different nations, we are different races, we are different religions, and we have different identity. Everyone has a different face. Imagine if we were united in looks, Allahu Akbar. We would have to choose someone here that we all look like, mashallah. If we were united in looks, life would be boring. Because I guarantee you, names wouldn't help. We would need a number.
Just like when they have motor vehicles, all made the same. The name is one name. But they have numbers that separate the vehicles. So you know this number belongs to that haji, and this number belongs to that one there, and this number belongs to that one. Because they're all the same. But if human beings were like that, it would be very boring, very boring. Perhaps we would have less problems, because when you're getting married, one thing you don't need to do is to look at the person. They all look the same. Allahu Akbar. So we need to know Allah has blessed us by making us different. So much so that if you look at the ahadith and the narrations of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he explains so beautifully that Allah created us from the soil, and he took the soil from different parts of the earth. So some of it was rocky, some of it was sandy, some of it was dark, some of it was light, some of it was, you know, solid, some of it was slightly soft. So this is how the nature of man has come about. Some people are very hard, some people are soft-natured, some people are very difficult to get along with, other people are very easy to get along with, some nature is this, some is that, one has this, you know, color, the other one has the other color. All this Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. O people, we have created you from a single male and female. Let's listen to this. We have created you from a single male and female. And we have made you different tribes and races and clans and so on, in order that you may recognize each other. So that you don't have to have a number, you can have a name. So Allah says, we made you different. You know me as a Zimbabwean, I know you as Sri Lankan, mashallah. Many a times you can see a person and say, this person comes from Europe, this person comes from Africa, this person comes from Far East Asia, this person perhaps comes from here and there. Based on what? The gift of Allah. Allah says, to get to know one another. You know one another. If we did not make you different, you would not know one another. But that does not mean we are disunited. That does not mean we should be disunited. We should use the fact that we are different to get closer to one another. I was saying we are on a globe, we are different. So much so that now we have different nationalities. And I don't want to go into the history of how this came about. The countries have been divided and people have their territories and so on. So you have different nationalities. MashaAllah, it's there. It is something we have to live with. Within a certain country, we have smaller groups. You have people from the north and from the south, from the east and from the west. Someone is from Kandy, someone is from Colombo, originally, mashallah. So you know, this person comes from there, this person comes from here, and so on. Not so that you can say, no, these people are not worth it because they come from a poor land. No, now that division is not a heavenly spiritual division. It is not. It is something man has created through materialism, which is very bad. And if we were to divide people on those lines, we would not achieve success. We would not achieve success. And this is part of the problem today. People do not like a different civilization solely because they are different. And sometimes it's because they are excelling quicker than them. So they say, no, you either do it our way or we will fight you. Believe me, good countries are doing this. Or should I say, advanced countries are doing this. They say, you only wear the clothing we wear or we will fight you. You only think the way we think or you are dead meat. And this is happening on the globe. This is why there's a problem on the globe, to be honest with you. Because people believe there is a clash of civilizations when they start believing that it's just my way or highway. Allahu Akbar. Or no way. Allahu Akbar. May Allah grant us understanding. Sadly, when we come to close the circle, we will find within a city, you have communities. Within the communities, you have families. Within the families, you have individual people. And why am I saying sadly? Sadly, I still want to finish that statement. People are using this mentality within community to say that man is wealthy, so therefore this. This one is poor, so therefore that. This one comes from this, you know, family, so therefore we will draw this line. This one comes from here, so we will draw that line. This is what divides us in a satanic way, not in a spiritual way. Spiritually, the verse I read before you, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most honored from amongst you in the eyes of Allah is the one who has greatest piety. So the litmus test is the piety. It has got nothing to do with what you look like and which family you are from. And it's got nothing to do with whether you are fair in complexion or dark. And it's got nothing to do with whether you come from the north or the south. It has got to do with how close you are to your maker. Then you become the winner. So the most honored from amongst us seated here this morning is the one who is the most pious. And guess what? No one besides Allah knows piety. So a person who appears to be very pious may not be so. Sometimes the only people who will be able to tell are his own family members. And sometimes not even them, because his lack of piety is in secret. May Allah protect us. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna Allah ta'ala la yanzuru ila suwarikum wala ila ajsamikum, walakin yanzuru ila qulubikum wa a'malikum." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look when He decides who's a good person and who is fit for paradise and so on. He does not look at your physical features and He does not look at your bodies. No. But He looks at your heart and He looks at your deeds. And the heart, none can see besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one knows. Some good deed can also be appearing to be good to people, but it's bad because of the evil intention. So when we have members of the family, we need to know that if that closed unit is successful, then inshallah, it will lead to a more successful community, going further to the whole city, the country, and humanity at large benefits. But within a person, there are many organs. You have the hands, you have the tongue, you have the lips, you have the eyes. So if I were to look at someone and say, "I know you, brother, I have seen you somewhere." What am I talking about? Have I seen his heart somewhere? No. Have I seen his elbow somewhere? No. Have I seen his knees somewhere? No. I've seen his face somewhere. I've seen his face somewhere. So the face is, you can call it what you want, we can call it also a foreign ministry. Which means, it connects you with everyone else. It is your, maybe you can even call it ministry of information. I'm just using a term. Which means, it is what links the rest. And it is what links you to the rest. So I know you because of your face. And then when you open your mouth, I know you a bit better. Allahu Akbar. Have you thought of that? When you open your mouth, I know you better. So I might have met you, salamu alaykum wa alaykum as-salam. MashaAllah, there was a smile and I believed you were a good person. Until as I walked past, I heard you swearing your worker. Swearing, big swear words. I look, I see the face. And with that face, I no longer think of that innocent man or woman. But every time that I think of that face, there is an image that appears of that face swearing. Have you followed? Because we spoilt it. We had, Allah gives us a good start. When you are silent and you have your faith, it's a good start. Everyone knows you as a person. They give you the benefit of the doubt. And you know, we are supposed to give each other the benefit of the doubt. And then you have a person who starts swearing, shouting, screaming, lying, deceiving. For example, you go and do business. And someone is, you know, a businessman. And he would like to do business with you. You talk to him, he sounds good, everything is okay. So you give him the benefit, he's a good man. And on top of that, what happens? After the deal is struck, he then lets you down. When he lets you down, every time you think of that businessman, you think of a person who's a thief. You think of a con artist. You tell others sometimes, "Look, be careful, this person has robbed me." And there's nothing wrong in saying that. It's not backbiting. If something has happened to you personally, and you are warning others of it, it's not backbiting.
لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول إلا من ظلم.
Allah says in the Quran, Allah does not like you to speak evil of someone unless you have been oppressed by them. You've been oppressed, you can, not in order to defame them, and not in order to make them feel derogatory, but in order to warn someone that, look, you know, I have dealt with this brother and this is what he did. Here is the evidence. So you may deal with him, but just be careful. I've said it in a respectful manner, but I put it forward. It's not something bad. So a person is known as a good businessman until he proves otherwise. And we are known as good until our tongues have opened out and we have come up to be people who have proven otherwise. That is Allah's gift on us. Allah's gift is that everyone knows us as good. Today you see me and I see you. MashaAllah, we love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we can change that very quickly. And we can also build on it. Like I said, there are many organs. We mentioned in one of our lectures here in Colombo that every morning the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the tongue is told by the rest of the organs of the body that fear Allah regarding us. It is through you that we are known. The tongue, as small as it is, have you seen it? Jarmuhu saghir wa jurmuhu kabir. The size is very small, but the damage it can cause is huge. Huge, very big damage. That is the tongue. So why are the other organs telling the tongue to be careful? The reason is, when the tongue speaks, even the hand is known as bad. The face is known as bad. Someone sees your legs, they say, oh, this man is rotten, stay far from him. Even if your legs are peeping from the bottom of a curtain, subhanallah, and people see you, they will run away because of your tongue, because of what you used your tongue for. So this is why the hadith says, every one of the organs warns the tongue every morning. We don't feel it, but it's happening. So when the hadith speaks of the organs of the body, it goes on to say, أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ لَمُضْغَةٌ إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. Behold, in this body there is a piece of flesh, a certain piece of flesh. If it is pure and good, the whole body will be pure and good. And if it is not pure, if it is corrupt and bad, the whole body will be corrupt and bad. And the hadith says, that piece of flesh is the heart. Have you ever seen the heart of an animal? Perhaps a sheep or something. You find it's a piece of flesh. Those of you who might have even seen the heart of a human being, whether it be a real one or whether it be in a documentary or what have you, it's a piece of flesh. Doesn't have a bone in it. And blood circulates through it. Systole, diastole, it moves this way, that way, and so on. And yet when a person is sick, they go for a blood test. The heart problem. Heart problem is a very big problem. You know, may Allah grant cure to all those who are suffering in that way. And to all those who are sick and ill. Ameen. And may Allah cure us as well. But the heart has a dual job. One is keeping you alive, pumping the blood, physically alive. And the other is your spirituality is also with the same heart. With the same heart. So if you are corrupt physically, you pick it up in the heart. And if you are corrupt spiritually, you pick it up in the heart. Allahu Akbar. This is the power of the word of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The heart is the core, it's the center. So when you have a good heart, you feel physically well. When you have a good heart, spiritually, you are a good person. People know you as good because you have a good heart. And you have heard the statement, many people say, that man has a good heart, very good heart. And some people say he has a big heart. Yet size-wise, it might be a little bit smaller, but what that means is, he has a big heart. That means very generous. We use the term. We understand it. So where am I getting to? Where is this topic leading? Let me show you where it's leading. When you have a good and pure heart, you will be good. When you are good, you can be a good member of your family. Without being good and with your heart being dirty, your family might not even think that you are an asset to them, and you may cause more destruction to the family than anything constructive. So this is why it starts off with the development of the heart. That nucleus, the first unit, needs to be developed properly. And when it is developed properly, we become an asset to our homes. And I want to now take it the other way around. In order for us to live a happy life, ask yourself, am I an asset in my house? You see, we are seated here. From amongst us, obviously, we all have parents. Some of our parents are alive and some have gone. May Allah grant them Jannah. And from amongst us, some are married, I think the bulk possibly, and some are not. So we are either living with our wives and children, or we are living with our parents, we are living with someone. Let's ask ourselves, am I an asset to these people that I live with, or am I a burden upon them? If I am not an asset, it's because my heart is not straight. That's the reality. There's something crooked about my heart. Perhaps I'm engaging in sin. Perhaps I have bad habits. Perhaps I bad mouth. Perhaps I am vulgar. Maybe I'm not helpful at all in the home. How many of us are not helpful in the house? If we are not helpful in the house, how are we going to be helpful in our country? When the non-Muslims look at us, they say, you know, these people, and this happens in almost all countries. I'm not sure about this one, but it might be happening. They look at us and they say, these people are becoming rich in our country and they are doing nothing for the country. They give nothing back to this country and they are just sitting there doing nothing. They're just making money, money, more money, and they're greedy and they don't even have good manners and they are a burden in the land. Allah safeguard us. Why would that ever be said about us who are supposed to be the best of nations? Because we've left the proper path. We've become very, very selfish. Very selfish. Selfish in the house to start with. So don't think you are going to be able to be generous outside when your own family members think that this person is definitely very selfish. Some of us are so used to things being picked up after us that we can get up and the bedding is dirty. We eat, everything is filthy. We leave things for everyone to do. We make it dirty intentionally. One day there was a young man and he was eating a chocolate and he threw the litter on the streets. We won't say which country, but he threw the litter on the streets. And he carried on a little bit later, he took something else out and threw it on the street. So I told him, I said, brother, you know what, you rather put it in the bin, it's not even 20 meters away. He said, look, that would result in unemployment. I told him, what do you mean? He said, by me throwing, these people pass, they realize we need people to clean. So they employ people. At least someone is getting a job by me throwing. Look at how warped the thinking is. So he is saying, if I were to put it in the bin, people will lose their jobs. How? Look at how the devil comes and messes our heart. Messes our heart. So I told him, brother, even if you put it in the bin, someone has to be employed to pick that bin. Allahu Akbar. But like this, you are messing the environment. Now look at how the devil comes to us to make us justify the bad that we are in. It's so bad. I mean, today we are sitting in a very, very clean place, mashallah. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Allah grant barakah in this place as well. Imagine if each one of us had to eat our chewing gum and throw it on the side and say, no, don't worry, we are creating employment. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. But we are doing this in our own homes. Some people think I married so that my wife can pick up everything. So we just throw it, leave it. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is our role model, and he should be, and he has to be, and we have to follow him, he used to do a lot of the housework himself. Many times he used to milk the goat on his own and bring forth the food on his own. Try it out. Sometime, perhaps you can cook. I don't know if they will eat what you've cooked because of how it comes out, but you will learn inshallah, slowly but surely. And we are not saying it's necessary, it's not a must. But the minimum, you don't need to cook and so on, but what you should do, and here I'm addressing the men folk, what you should do is be an asset to your home. Be someone who can sit and talk properly. Because if you don't talk to your family members, who do you want to talk to them? You want the neighbor to come and talk to them. Who else do you want? A friend to come and sit and spend hours on end. Then you are not fulfilling your rights. And the house, the heart of the community is each household. You need to know that. So in the same way, the heart of the body is what we know it is. And if it is good, the rest of the body is good. And if it is not, the rest of the body is not. The same way, The family unit is the heart of the community. And because the community is very big, we will have several points. And all these points come together. Each one fulfills its own role. If we cannot fulfill that role in our home, how do we expect a good community? If you look at the disasters today, the amount of divorce, the amount of problem, the amount of hatred, the amount of jealousy within the extended home, it is primarily because the hearts are not clean. And thereafter, we have not fulfilled our own role. You know, the mother is a very, very important figure in the home. Without her, there's no home. The same way the father. We cannot say that we can do away with any one of them. We cannot. And for this reason, the orphan who has been brought up without a father or without parents, the status of that orphan has been elevated so high in order that the rest of the community can try to fulfill the role of those whom the child is missing. That is the reason. Otherwise, what was the point of raising the status of an orphan? There was no point. We could say, oh, their parents died, never mind, they'll carry on. No. Allah says, even to put your hand on the head of an orphan with some feeling of love is an act of charity. And to look after the orphan may earn you paradise, not just any ordinary paradise, but in the company of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know the hadith, أَنَا وَكَافِلُ الْيَتِيمِ كَهَاتَيْنِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Myself and the one who looks after the orphans will be like this in paradise. Together, he joined the two fingers. So, we have a family unit. We need to work on it. And we need to make sure we are an asset. Let's change our tongues if they were evil. Make them good. Let's broaden our chest, expand our heart. Let's become people who are an asset. Do you see what is going on today? Let's be honest. People are not fulfilling their roles. So wife complains of husband, husband complains of wife. How? And why should that happen? Children complain of parents, parents complain of children. This is happening. Husband goes out to work, he's busy with someone else. Wife goes out to work, she's busy with someone else. We are just living together coincidentally. That's what happens. So when you come back home, we are fighting with each other. Why? Your mind and heart is somewhere else. It's not in the house. And how long will that last for? 1 year? 2 years? Then you lose your home, you break your marriage, and after that, what happens? You go somewhere else, you marry that person. When you marry that person, once they are in the house, you are now used to a certain trend, there's no spark anymore, and therefore what happens? You are now busy with a third person. And it continues. And this is why in the Western world, nowadays, they prefer not to marry. They say, I'd rather have a partner. Because the minute you marry, you lose essence. Astaghfirullah. Why? Irresponsibility. They don't want responsibility. So you have single mothers galore. When you say single mother, we are not talking of someone who's divorced. We're talking of a person who's never ever been married, but they've got children. That's the norm of those who are not Muslim. A growing number of them. Whereas with us, my brother, my sister, you are going to live once. Live it properly. Thoroughly. You have your family. Look after them. You have your wife. You have your children. Or in the case of the women, you have your husband. You have your children. You have your relatives. Make the most of it. Work hard. Sacrifice for them. Fulfill your role. And remember, don't just look across and around and see every vehicle on the street and think I can have this one and that one. You will not be able to park more than the vehicle that fits in your garage. Believe me, you won't. So even if you have the wealth to have 15 vehicles, but your garage only fits one, you first need to build a better garage. Allahu Akbar. Work on your home first. Why I'm saying this is, the roses on the rose bed, you cannot have all of them. You pick one and alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. You can't have everything you want in this world. But if you think that, you will never see happiness. This is what people don't understand. Look at the Western world, and we need to draw a parallel. Because They are drowning in materialism, but they are suicidal. Most of them. A lot of them. I think a lot of them, and I won't be wrong to say that. They are on medication. Go and ask the big pharmaceutical companies how many people are on antidepressants and which countries. Go and Google it and check which countries use the most antidepressants. They are the most advanced countries. They use the most sleeping pills, the most advanced countries. And who doesn't even use them and doesn't even know about them? Those countries that have hardly anything. Subhanallah. That is Allah. Why? Because when you're running behind materialism and you are not content, then you've lost the plot. You'll never be happy until you die. Until you die, you always wanted something else. Because what you have is not good enough. And this is why we're saying, it starts with the family unit. Your children, you have not chosen them. Allah chose them for you. Your parents, Allah chose them for you. Yes, your spouse, you might have had a say in it. But at the end of the day, you married. Sometimes what happens is, a person gets married, mashallah. The girl is a model, bride, mashallah. She won't remain a model forever. You're the one who impregnated her, subhanallah. Then what happened? She gave birth, she gained a little bit of weight, and now suddenly you turn around. And you say, no, I'm looking for another model. Okay. What will happen? You find the other one. The same thing will happen. And perhaps even worse. And then what happens? You turn the other way. Until you die, we continue turning, so no one was ever happy with you. And you were never happy with anyone. What a life. What a life. Where does it stop? It needs to stop somewhere. So you have what you have, work on it. Build the love and affection. Have the feeling. No matter what they end up looking like, you always need to know, this is mine, my property. In the sense that I will take care of this. And if I am not going to fulfill my rights, I am answerable to my maker. And not only that, we should be doing it wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. The mother of my children, imagine. The mother of my children, and I don't have time for her. Or the father of my children. You know, today I'm speaking, I know there are a lot of sisters here as well, but sadly I'm only looking at the men here, so that is why sometimes you find me addressing the men alone, it seems like, but don't worry, at the back of my mind I do know that there are sisters here as well. But the same rule applies. Sometimes we really become upset because of one thing, two things. No, let's work on it. Because remember one thing, if we are not content, let's listen to this carefully. If we are not content with what we have, and we are not happy, this is why the hadith says, if Allah wants goodness from you, He gives you contentment. When you are happy and content, you can concentrate on so many other things. Your business is successful, you can become a president, you can become a CEO, you can be an imam, a successful leader, because your home is a happy home. The minute your home is in turbulence, they call you here, you say, you know what, I can't come. But why? Because you can't explain that there is social unrest. That's the word. Social unrest. Subhanallah. Allah protect us. It's like a little mini Tahrir square in your own home. Every little while, someone has a toothache, they go there. Someone's leg is paining, they go there. Allahu Akbar. What is it? This is what the world has been reduced to. But within our own homes, I'm talking about. So, we are not happy, we are not content. If we are not happy and not content, everything around us is affected. And if it is affected, how do you expect, if you are a school teacher, and you walk into the school, as soon as you come in, you are busy shouting the little children because you had a little domestic with your wife? Look at how it affected you. If you are a judge in the Supreme Court, and you've had a domestic or you've got pressure on this side here, you might walk in and someone who stole a loaf of bread, you send him to hang. Allahu Akbar. He must go and hang. Gallows, straight. Why? Just go. Why did you steal it? But you need to apply the law. Don't let it seep through. Human nature makes it seep. You cannot deny. This is why in Islam, لا يقضي القاضي بين اثنين وهو غضبان. A judge is not allowed to judge between people when he is a bit angry. He's not allowed. He must come in the calm state, even if it means at midnight. He must come at midnight, but he must come calm. He mustn't judge between people when he is hungry, when he is angry. No, that is what Islam says. Because it will impair. So if the Prophet, peace be upon him, says this, it means your life is affected by what happens in your house. That is not to be denied. We all know that. Children are affected. A lot of children who move into drugs, it's because either mother is not fulfilling her role, or father is not fulfilling his role, or the two of them think they are fulfilling their role, but they have made a mistake somewhere down the line. Not in every case, but in a lot of cases. In some cases, it's just sheer misguidance from the devil. Sometimes we even make the wrong decisions for our own children. When we are sending them to a school, and we send them to a school without thinking what type of people are in that school, who is going to sit next to my child? A person from a totally broken home who swears every day. A person who is fighting for attention. You know, when they fight for attention, they are mischievous sometimes, because they just want to be acknowledged. They are not acknowledged at home. This is why last night also I remember saying, how many of us have told our children, I love you, my son. You are the most important person to me. Oh, my daughter, I love you. You are the most important person. Really. And I did say it and I want to repeat it. Some people consider that taboo. How can I say that? Well, if you are not saying it, we don't want someone else saying it. Allahu Akbar, to your children. Today, let's face facts across the globe. If we are not going to show that love to our children, say to our sons, what if another man shows that to them? Or another boy shows it to them? Then what? Who is to blame? You did not fulfill your role, did you? Now when they turn out to say, Dad, I can't marry because, you know, I'm different. I don't know if you might have heard that. But it's happening. It happens to us in the sense that people come to us and tell us, you know, the Almighty's created me different. Nonsense. The Almighty hasn't created you different. If you want, I can prove it. But rather, there is something wrong. Islam considers it a sickness. It does. And we have the right to believe what we believe. Although in other countries they might consider it something else, they have the right also to consider it whatever they consider it. Some consider it normal, natural. They have the right to consider it whatever. Just like some people consider pigs also marriable, they can do that. They can consider it. We are not involved in that. But if we want to consider it unacceptable, like there are certain people fighting for bestiality rights, it's up to them. We have the right to disagree with them. That is why we are disagreeing with them. It is our democratic right to believe that this is wrong. There you are. So don't be mistaken. Don't be fooled. It is our democratic right to believe that something is wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. So we believe it's wrong. Now I'm speaking this way because this speech will go far and wide. And there must not be people who think that we are barbaric, intolerant people. We are very tolerant. But at the same time, we know our democratic rights. We know them. So why did that come about? Because mom and dad never ever said, I love you. No one showed the child love. The first person that showed the child love, it was there. Allah protect us. So we say, when the home is not in order, what do you want the community to become? It will degenerate and disintegrate into ashes. And we see problem after problem, but we don't know it's here. We've spoken about salah. We would like to hope that we are all reading salah. Salah is really a gift for a believer. Do you know that? It was given as a gift to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he went to Mi'raj. A gift. And we take it as a burden. A burden. It reminds me very, very clearly of someone who is given 50 kilos of gold. 50 kgs of gold. And they are told, just carry this home. And he knows it's gold, but he doesn't want to carry the gold. He's holding it and he's saying, this is a burden. What are you going to do? Because it is gold, we will break our backs to take it home. It's a gift. But salah is a bigger gift than that. We can't even get up for it. We can't even, not break your back. We can't even, you know, fulfill it to help ourselves. We can't do that. Then we want happiness. And this is why we always say, subhanallah, that if you would like children, if you would like children to do the right thing, you need to do the right thing and let them see it. When you fulfill your salah as you are standing to raise your hands in salah and you've dressed appropriately, you will find the smallest of your children wanting to reenact what you are doing, even if they don't understand, because you are leading by example. That is the home. That is the good home. The problem today, father expects his child to be sober when he is holding a bottle. That's the problem. Father expects the child to be honest when he is the most crooked businessman. Mother expects the daughter to not to dress indecently when she is moving in a miniskirt. This is happening. We expect our children to read salah when we couldn't even be bothered. We want our children to do well in the dunya and in the akhirah, whereas we have not even seen how we have fared in our own examinations. Let us not be mistaken. Yes, education is important. Secular education is also very important. But we should never compromise the religious education, because spiritual and religious education takes you through into the eternal life after death. Whereas the secular education, you might not even live to see a certificate. How many people have passed away at the universities and in high school and in primary school? How many? Plenty, we know of them. And how many have died on the day of graduation? And how many have died in the first 5-10 years of their work? So many. What guarantee do I have that I am not going to be from amongst those, or you? But if I have prepared for the akhirah with my salah, with good character, conduct, as I said, build the core of the home. When you leave, do you know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when men at large, when the people at large bear witness to the goodness of a certain person, then through that witness, Allah may forgive them completely. So when a person passes away and the whole community says, this man was a very good man, and his spouse and everyone else says, this man was a very good man, there is a great chance that Allah grant them Jannah. Just like that. So much so that there is a clean narration of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding a wife, that if the wife passes away in the condition that the husband is pleased with her, she will be granted entry into paradise. There we are. No debate. That is an authentic narration. If a wife passes away in a condition that the husband is pleased with her, the game is over. She has won the match. Allahu Akbar. She has won the match. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the coolness of the eyes of our spouses. So when we build this home, we have built the heart. When the heart is built, the body is good. When the home is built, when an individual is built, the home will be good, inshallah. Our children will look forward to us arriving from work every day. And we don't arrive late for no reason. As we said, there are roles to be fulfilled by the husband and the wife, the mother and the father, the children as well. We need to fulfill them properly. Bearing in mind, I need to build the generations. I need to contribute to my society. I need to contribute to my country. I need to contribute to the ummah at large. How will I contribute if I am busy this way and that way? I haven't even settled down in my mind, in my emotions. Come our evening, I'm busy with my friends. Come late night, we go to the nightclub. Following morning, we are half drunk. What life do we want to lead? What community will we have? What country will we have? Some countries, they will tell you majority of the youngsters are on drugs. I was told that about one of the countries. How can that be said? They should be ashamed of themselves. But let's not talk about them. Let's talk about us. There are so many things we do we should be ashamed of. When are we going to change them? This is why Allah creates people to come and talk to us, to tell us, please change your ways. This lecture that is being delivered is no coincidence. It was planned by the Almighty in the sense that He knew you were going to sit here and He knew that what was going to come to your ears today was never going to miss you. We know that in the hadith, مَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُلْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ. That which got to you was never meant to miss you. Whether it is sustenance, whether it is goodness, whether it is evil, whether it is a statement, no matter what. So we are going to be questioned. You were told, enough is enough. Like I said moments ago, we have sinned enough. What have those sins helped us? It's about time to leave those sins. Leave them. How did they help me or you? Whenever I have sinned or you, Allah forgive us all. How did it help me? How did it help you? Did it make you a big macho? That now you can tell Allah, yes, you know, you said no, but I did that. We're like little children. The father says, don't go. And quietly when father is sleeping, he opens the door and he's gone. Like he's a big man. And he comes back also without father knowing. Big deal, mashallah. We are using that relation with our maker. Imagine. Allah says, don't do. We say, hang on, quietly I will do. Then we think we can come out and come back. Not realizing Allah, nobody can hide from Him. But that is the type of attitude we have. So be satisfied. The reason, one of the reasons why a lot of marriages are not working is when we get married, instead of becoming happy and content, we're still busy looking. Allahu Akbar. And not only that, we are not happy. And this is why, one of the reasons why Islam says a woman must dress and cover herself is so that marriages can work. Someone might say, what do you mean? Let me explain to you. When all women are exposed, as we find sometimes on the globe, when anyone marries, by default his eyes will fall on something better. Why? Because they are all uncovered. So even the ones who are uncovered, when they get married, by default their husbands will see others who are better. Up to the degree that even if they are the prettiest in the whole country, the television will bring about something better. So they are never happy. Because if they have a woman, they are still thinking, no, there's someone better. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is why when you are covered and you've dressed appropriately, then when you marry, you are the only one for your husband. And he appreciates what he has. And when he looks to the side, he sees someone else covered. Also respectful. When he looks to the other side, he sees someone else covered. Look at how powerful it is. And now they teach you, no, you're not liberated until your hair is not dangling. I always say, until you don't show people how good the head and shoulders looks in your hair. You know? So if you had to show them how good it looks in your hair, the minute they marry you and they see it, they turn around, that one is using Pantene, mashallah. So it doesn't stop. But if you were covered, the moment you exposed it, they will appreciate it. And if they appreciate it, and this is why we are taught, okay, we cannot block the globe from dressing in a specific way. They will do what they want. Minimum is lower your gaze. When you lower your gaze, you appreciate what you have. But people say, no, Islam, you know, very hard, very backward. Astaghfirullah. By us saying that, we have still failed. You know, some of the lecturers will tell you, and some of the parents who are perfectionists, they will tell you, okay, my son, I told you what to do, you didn't listen. So you did whatever you wanted to do. You have still failed. So now come back to what I am saying. Have you heard what I just said? If the father says, listen, my son, I told you what to do, you did not listen. You did whatever you wanted to do, you have still failed. So come back to what I am telling you. I want to use that statement to say Allah has given us a way to success. We did not use it. We failed, so let's go back to that way of success. Take a look at the globe. There is turmoil and turbulence. We have families that are breaking one after the other. And you have this one undressed and that one undressed and this man doing this and that one doing that. And the Quran is telling you and the Sunnah is telling you that that is not the way to succeed. The way to succeed is here. So after we have failed, do we still not realize that let us go back to there and see how we will succeed? Allahu Akbar. But man sometimes still thinks, no, let me remain on this. I might come up one day with a plan. Allah says, I made you. I know the whole plan. Here it is. So people begin to question. Like I said moments ago, there are some who will tell you a woman is not liberated until she is uncovered. And for that reason, if a woman is covered, they won't believe that she is doing it out of her free will and because she loves her maker, they say, no, this one is oppressed. You are oppressed. You know, I remember sitting with one man many years ago on an aircraft and he was telling me, you people oppress your women. Out of the blue, you don't know me, you don't know anything. You're looking at me, I'm sitting next to you, say, you people oppress your women. I thought to myself, I said, you know, this man is foolish and he needs a foolish person to talk to him. Or he needs a foolish way of understanding. I looked at him and he was busy taking out something from his wallet. I said, you people oppress your money. So he looked at me and he says, that is very foolish. I said, well, it's as foolish as what you said. I said, why do we oppress our women? He said, well, you cover them from top to bottom. I said, well, you've covered your money. All your money is closed in the wallet. He looked at me and he said, ah. That's all. So this is something people, they want to convince us that we are oppressed to the degree that some women who have Muslim names say, yes, no, indeed, we are oppressed. How can, you know, we should be dressing however we want. It's freedom of dress and so on. Yes, there is freedom of dress. Let's understand it from a democratic point of view. Democracy. Western-style democracy. Let's understand it from there. We are free. The whole world is free. Or if you are living in a democratic free country, you are free. To do what? To do what you want. You are free. So you are free to be Muslim or not to be Muslim. If you are living in countries that allow that, and I'm sure the whole world, you are free to be Muslim or not to be Muslim. But if you have chosen to be Muslim, it means through your freedom, you have imposed on yourself certain rules and regulations. You chose to follow those rules and regulations. You chose to be known as a Muslim. If you have, then through my freedom, I have chosen not to be homosexual. And I have chosen to believe that it is wrong to dress in a certain manner. I have chosen it. So I have imposed on myself, I have chosen for myself with my democratic right to be a person who will not dress in a specific way. Now what's wrong? Now let's talk. So we should not be fooled. People doing things, they're doing it out of their freedom, not necessarily being forced. In fact, in Islam, we should not be forcing things. And this brings us back to the topic today, where within the home, there are two ways of achieving things. One is, you want your son to read salah, you can force him and impose it on him. The minute you are not there, and you tell him, you made wudu, he say, yes, I did. Yes. And you know for a fact there's no wudu there. He's as dry as the desert. Allahu Akbar. Why? Because you are forcing him. Did you read salah? When? Just now. That is one way of doing things, to force someone. When you force someone, they only do it whilst you are standing. After you are gone, they're all having fun. It's like one Maulana told us, you know, there was boys, we told him, you must make Taraweeh and you must read the full Quran in Taraweeh and all of you must, you know, and instead of sitting and explaining, he says, the Maulana was imposing and telling, no, you must. So when he was walking up and down, and every time he's coming, he hears them saying, Ta'lamun, Allahu Akbar. The next time, Ya'lamun, Allahu Akbar. The next time, Yattaqoon, Allahu Akbar. So as though they are now finishing the raka'at, fooling the man, he realized that this, so he called all of them. He sat them down and he explained to them the benefits of reading the Quran, and he explained to them how, you know, it will result in their success in the dunya and the akhirah. And he spent so much time and he read for them stories of the predecessors and stories of the sahaba and so on, and developed to the degree that it changed their habit. Why am I saying this? We need to apply that rule with our children. Otherwise they will be doing ya'lamun and ta'lamun to us also. Talk to them. Look, if you read salah, this is what will happen. If you are honest, this is what happens. If you lie, this is what happens. But the problem is we don't have time for our own family. We don't have time to sit with our children and our spouses. We don't talk to them. And then we want to solve the problems of the whole world. How will that happen? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us barakah in our time. May He make us from those really who can spend the right time in the right place. Yes, we do have responsibilities. But remember one thing, it is not impossible to make time for our own family members. Make a bit of time. Because when you have a strong core, you have a strong community. And the strong community based on what? Morals, values. Where are you going to learn these morals and values? Respect of one another. You know, the slightly older generation, when they spoke to each other with respect, utmost respect, and you had their children who always greeted the elders, they always walked past and acknowledged the ulama, they acknowledged the elders and the other people. Yes, uncle, how are you? And so on. Can I help you? Now, take a look at a lot of children. I'm not sure about this country, but I'm speaking about where I come from. they see you and it's as though you are committing a crime for having been seen by their eyes. There we are. And if you are someone who is a religious person in some communities, they have already started laughing. They run away. They scoff. They make a fool. They disrespect the people of deen. If you have a small dispute or disagreement, it doesn't mean you disrespect people. No. You respect them. They are human beings. They are older. Where are the values gone? Where the Prophet ﷺ says, you should respect your elders. And you should have mercy on those who are young. Where is all that gone? So we need to know that if we are not going to inculcate these morals and values into our children by sitting around the dining table and talking to them, or calling them and reading them a book. You know, when you want to tell a child not to tease his sister, instead of teasing his sister all the time, and you say, look, don't tease your sister, what happens? He might not understand that, but you call him one day and open a book and read the little booklet. And in there must be a story as to the damage of teasing someone. I remember, I will tell you right now, a story when I was young. Whether it is true or not is besides the point. In fact, it was not true. But it helped us. They say there was a man. This is obviously something on a lighter note, but I heard it when I was very young and it affected me. There was a man who used to tease everyone. So one day he went to the courtroom and the judge was sitting there. And he decided, you know, I am going to pretend like I'm a goat for a little while. And whatever they say, I will just make that sound, you know. So every time the judge asked him a question, he made the sound. And he was used to that because he used to tease people. And he made the sound again. And he made the sound again. And then the judge said, this man is senile, just release him. So they released him. When they released him, throughout the rest of his life, he could not speak. He only made that sound. Okay, that was the story. You heard the story? What effect did it have upon us? We never teased people. We never ever did that again. But the story was told to me by, I think, my elder brother or someone. And it affected me forever and ever. Now I know it might have been a hoax. But at that age, I needed the story. We don't even spend time with our children to read something. And remember, when you read something, it's more effective than when you just tell them something. Or when you give them a story, it's more effective than instructing them. Because it has a better impact. And they understand it as a tale. And this is why Allah says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ ضَرَبْنَا لِلنَّاسِ فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ فَأَبَى أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ إِلَّا كُفُورًا. We have in this Quran given mankind all sorts of examples, but still they want to disbelieve. Why did Allah give examples? It was easy for Him to say, do this and do that. But He says, no, before you, Aad, we sent to them a messenger. We warned them, they did this, they did that, and this is what happened as a result. Before you, Thamud, this is what happened, that's what happened. We sent a messenger to them, they were engaged in this type of activity, as a result, this is what happened. Before you, this happened and that happened. And Allah gives so many examples, so that we can take heed. This is what Allah says. So my beloved brothers and sisters, we need to know. It's about time we did something to improve our relations within our own homes so that we can contribute to society at large, as I said, to the nation as well. Even though we might be living in countries that are not Muslim, we need to contribute to the nation, and we need to understand the nation is waiting for us to contribute positively to the nation, and we need to project the correct image of who we are to those around us, be they Muslim or non-Muslim. And we need to make sure that when we assist socially, we bear in mind the humanitarian factor. We are all human beings at the end of the day. When we speak to people, high morals, good value. And we need to make sure that we inculcate that in our own children. And if we are going to run behind materialism and run behind the latest, we will never be happy. We will die without being content, because we had the best, but we didn't realize it. You know, a person who has the best spouse, but they think it's the worst spouse. Sometimes they haven't seen the others, and sometimes it's because they haven't opened their eyes. They don't know what it's all about. We need to know this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a turning point, and may He make us from those who take heed. Really, we need a globe that will be tolerant, that will be understanding. We need wars to end. And how will wars end? By us turning back to what has been revealed. To what has been revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Without that, we cannot solve the problem. And I want to end by saying, there is a verse of the Quran that a lot of people have quoted, some have misquoted, and some of us have heard it so many times, but it has not done any good to us. And I want to quote it with the idea of, by the will of Allah, it benefiting myself and yourselves as well. Allah says,
إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم.
Allah will not change the condition of a nation for as long as every individual does not change their own condition. And we've explained it today to say, if you change your condition and your family is a happy home, then you have a happy community. But if every family is a bitter family, then you have one big bitter community. Everyone is fighting, everyone is complaining about the other. You might go to someone to complain about your husband, but that person's wife is complaining more bitterly about the same man you are talking to. And you want to seek advice from them. We need to ask Allah's protection. And the same time, there is another verse that says,
إِنَّ اللَّهَ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَكُ مُغَيِّرًا نِعْمَةً أَنْعَمَهَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ.
When Allah has blessed you with a ni'mah and a gift, He will not take it away unless you've changed your condition and now you deserve it to be taken away. That's a verse of the Quran. Powerful verse. When Allah has given you a gift, He will not take it away from you unless you deserve it to be taken away from you because you've changed your ways. So when we get married, initially, mashallah, people are very happy. Why? Because it's a gift of Allah. But when we start changing our ways, we don't see the goodness in our marriages. We don't see the goodness in our children and our home anymore. We don't get comfort in the home anymore. And with this, inshallah, I am giving a word of encouragement even to the sisters. Remember one thing, the tongue is very, very sharp. It can slit and slice without even making a hole. Allahu Akbar. We need to be careful how we speak in the home. We need to be careful what we say. We need to be careful how we address the issues we want to address. Sometimes it's just a passing wave. You need to, you know, they say a passing wave, you ask the surface, they actually go underneath it and then they come up later on. But we don't try to climb the passing wave. We might drown with it. Like an ostrich. You know, when the wind is blowing, what does it do? It makes its hole and it goes right down. It doesn't stick its neck right up because it knows now the cyclone is coming. It will go down. But sometimes we tend to become so bossy in the home. We want everything our way. And I have said in the past, and I repeat it, sometimes to sacrifice the way you want to do things for the way someone else close to you wants to do things, when it's not wrong, is also an act of worship. Why must I have everything my way? My way, my way. Every day I decide what to cook, what to eat, how to do this. Give the people their opinions also. Hear from them and listen to what they have to say. If you are not going to listen to their opinions, who will listen to their opinions? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our doors. A lot has been said. And as I always say, a topic is only chosen in order for us to be guided through. But we can never do justice to one topic. You know, a talk or two will not be able to educate you as such. It will only be able to motivate you. There is a difference. As for education, you have your ulama here in your locality. You have those who are learned in your midst. Make use of their programs. Make use of the hadith programs, the tafsir programs, the ta'aleem programs. Whatever else you have, you need to make use of it. Whatever it is, make an effort. In the same way we spend 5, 6 to 8 hours a day to earn a little salary, we need to at least spend half an hour a day to earn our Jannah, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our doors. And with this I end saying, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad.